you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that takes you on a trip through history every day of the week. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking at the first time in aviation history that a plane took off from and landed on, not the ground, but the water. The day was March 28, 1910. French amateur pilot Henri Fabre made the first successful seaplane flight. He took off from a lagoon on the Mediterranean coast of France and reached an altitude of 6.5 feet above the water. Piloting a plane of his own design, he traveled a distance of a few hundred meters over the water and then landed safely back in the lagoon. Then, having already made history, Fabre flew 3 more times that day, with his longest flight reaching a distance of about 600 meters, or just under 2,000 feet. That may not sound like much, but it was pretty impressive for a test flight. For example, when the Wright brothers first tested their airplane 7 years earlier, the farthest they managed to fly was 852 feet, less than half the distance of the seaplane. Before Fabre, there had been several attempts to build a plane that could take off from and land on the water, but none of them quite hit the mark. In 1876, French engineer Alphonse Peynot designed a flying machine with a boat hull and a retractable landing gear, but he never got around to actually building it. Then, at the turn of the 20th century, Austrian inventor Wilhelm Kress built what many consider to be the world's first seaplane, the Drachenflieger, or Dragon Flyer. Unfortunately, the engines of Kress's aircraft weren't strong enough to lift it out of the water, and eventually, the whole thing just sank. Finally, in 1905, Gabriel Voisin and Ernest Archdeacon built a glider that did take off from the River Seine, just not on its own power. It had to be towed up to speed by a steamboat. In the end, it was Henri Fabre who claimed the honor of being the first person to successfully pilot a seaplane. Born in 1882 in Marseille, France, Fabre later became an engineer and began working on plans for a seaplane as early as 1906. At the time, his main interest was the challenge of building it. But it's not hard to imagine the utility of a plane that could land on or take off from bodies of water. A vehicle like that could provide greater access to isolated or underdeveloped areas, and it could vastly improve the outcomes of search and rescue missions. With all those possibilities on the line, Fabre worked with 2 mechanics and a naval architect to perfect the design of his seafaring airplane. It took them 4 years to plan, build, and test a working prototype, but all their hard work eventually paid off. Fabre's Hydravion, or seaplane, was made from lightweight materials, ash wood for the frame, plywood for the three floats, and cotton coverings for the wings. It had a 45-foot wingspan, measured 27 feet in length, and weighed barely over 800 pounds. Fabre named the plane Le Canard, or the duck, because of its ability to both float and fly. He also thought that the plane's wings resembled those of a duck in flight, and looking at the photos of the plane, he was right. The Canard's propeller was mounted at the back of the plane and was turned by a 50-horsepower engine. The three hollow plywood floats mounted beneath the plane also provided additional lift once it was airborne. Fabre's inaugural flight was scheduled for March 28, 1910, at the Etang des Bears Lagoon in Martigues, France, not far from Marseille. It would be his first flight in more ways than one, as the aspiring pilot had never flown before the big day, not even as a passenger. It was with slight trepidation, then, that he fired up his engine in the Martigues Marina, with a crowd of excited spectators looking on from the shore. Fabre got the Canard up to speed in the water and then took to the air, cruising at about 55 miles per hour. He touched down back in the water and then completed three more consecutive takeoffs and landings, covering a combined distance of about 1.25 miles. The successful test flights drew international attention, and pretty soon, Fabre was fielding offers from other inventors who wanted to use his floats to build their own seaplanes. The following year, one such customer, American aviator Glenn Curtiss, expanded on Fabre's design by building the Curtiss Model D, a traditional airplane equipped with a central float and sponsons built into the hull for extra buoyancy. The Model D could take off from and land on either the ground or the water, making it one of the earliest amphibious aircraft in the world. Curtiss went on to design several more planes with buoyant hulls, a variety of seaplane known as the flying boat, and it later proved invaluable during World War I. By that point, Henri Fabre had gotten his own company up and running. He supplied his patented floats to several different aircraft manufacturers and also built and sold his own seaplanes for use in the war. The seaplane industry grew quickly from there, and by the late 1930s, it had become one of the safest and most dependable means of long-distance transportation, not only for cargo, but for passengers as well. That's because seaplanes were among the largest and fastest aircraft at the time, and they were also able to be refueled at coastal stations, making transatlantic flights easier and more accessible than ever. Flying boats and seaplanes prove their usefulness yet again in the Pacific theater of World War II. The Allies used them to scout enemy battleships, conduct anti-submarine patrols, and to rescue airmen who'd been shot down. Ironically, the same military buildup that had made seaplanes a vital tool during the war also led to their decline once the fighting was over. Allied nations had spent millions of dollars on the construction of new runways and longer runways, greatly reducing the number of places that could only be reached by seaplane. That said, the U.S. Navy continued using flying boats well into the jet age and didn't retire its last one until the late 1960s. Large flying boats may not see much action these days, but smaller, modern seaplanes are still put to good use by coast guards and other rescue specialists. They're also a popular option for sightseeing, providing easy access to remote areas all around the world, if you can afford it. As for the man who made all that possible, Henri Fabre stepped away from seaplane manufacturing after the First World War, but he continued to work as an engineer in the aviation industry. He passed away on June 30, 1984, at the age of 101. Talk about a long flight. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.